Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the weekly podcast. It's the very best bits of an entire week's worth of the Dave Berry Breakfast Show, which, of course, you know, you could listen to in real time should you want to. It starts at 6, goes through till 10. Matt usually leaves about an hour before then, but that's
Hey, stop it.
So, Matt, you've had a disaster on your commute. Matt has the longest commute in radio. He comes in every morning from Hastings. He wakes up at 4, which is why every now and again he's allowed to slip out a little early, is my point here. What happened today?
I mean, it doesn't happen very often.
No,
boss, if you're listening. I was really organised for Christmas, right? I'd got a school photo of my son, Ted. I'd bought frames. I'd cut the photo up. I'd put it into two frames for both sets of grandparents.
Oh, that's nice.
I'd put it in a special envelope, padded envelope, ready to bring to work to post. Yeah. And I took it in Ted's swimming bag because I don't know. It's the only bag I could find this morning. And I said...
Instead of getting a normal bag for an adult, you just needed something
like
to carry something.
It's like a rucksack.
But is it small, miniature?
It's got space. No, it's quite big. It's surprisingly big.
And what's it got on it?
It's like a picture of space, basically.
Oh,
it's
not
like
Paw Patrol or something.
Not that childlike. It's quite a grown-up rucksack, really. Yeah. But and I brought it with me on the train, and I put it down on the seat next to me, and I sit on the right-hand side, and it's on the left by the window. I give the bag the window seat.
Like Anton Deck, you can always tell who's
exactly. Yeah.
That's the bag, and that's me.
And I knew I'd forget at some point. I'd forget it, and I knew make sure I bring it up.
So you knew. So you said to yourself, "Don't forget the bag."
As soon as I get to the train station, I've got my headphones in. I'm on my phone, looking through social media,
trying to
find a rental.
Probably
bike.
Vaping.
I'm lost in my own world. Yeah, vaping, drinking Monster energy drinks, playing loud music on my phone at the same time somehow. And I just got off, and I got off the train, and I got on a bike and came to work. And as I walked through the door, I thought, I've done it, haven't I? I've forgotten the bag.
But surely when you mounted the bicycle, that must have been the first clue.
No, yeah.
You must have gone, this is weird. I'm on a bike and I'm not holding anything.
I'm not holding a rucksack. No, I completely forgot because I never normally bring anything.
So you've ruined presents and you've lost your son's bag.
Yes, yeah. And it had his goggles in it as well.
Oh, no.
I wrap my hands and my arms through the straps like I'm trying to hold myself prisoner.
Yeah.
And that way you can never forget.
I know, that's what I should do. I know. And I meant to put it on the right-hand side by my feet so I can't get off. Yeah. Without stumbling over it, and I forgot to do that.
I mean, you hear stories of like there's government officials who have left like top secret paperwork on the train. Yeah. Someone left a Stradivarius violin in the luggage rack.
It's
I mean,
horrible.
Surely as you beep through the barriers at Euston, you go, oh, my Stradivarius.
Well, something's missing here, but it's so easily done. And it's a horrible feeling when you realise that basically I've ruined Christmas and my son's swimming lessons.
But don't worry, they've got your dead cat's bauble to look forward to. So that'll be nice.
That'll lighten the mood.
Okay, on with the show.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
Matt, when it comes to Insta and X and TikTok, what is going on?
Well, have you ever dreamed of smelling like the bakery department of a budget supermarket?
How did you know?
We all have.
How does he do it?
Yeah. Well, now you can.
Okay.
Croissant scented perfume is the new Christmas must not have.
I really want this.
Do you want this?
I really want to smell like an almond croissant.
Yeah. Croissant.
Oh,
nice.
Buttery.
Yes. An American influencer has unveiled this, and I've never heard anyone pronounce Lidl like this. I thought Lidl was a universal pronunciation. Aldi, Aldi, you can hear sometimes.
Yeah.
We all know it's Lidl. Asda, Tesco. But listen to this pronunciation on Lidl. It's crazy.
So I didn't think I'd be saying this, but Lidl made a croissant perfume that actually makes me feel like a snack.
It's very Lidl.
Very Lidl.
A little Lidl.
Americans on social media are just, it's like their trait of Worcestershire sauce. I couldn't even fathom you pronounce it like that.
Are they doing it on purpose to rage bait us possibly?
I don't know. I'm going to go down to Leicester Square and ask them.
But she goes on to describe it.
Buttery, sweet, like the bakery. It was bottled in the most adorable way.
In Lidl. So you can smell like a Lidl bakery.
I mean, even if I've got croissant on my fingers, the smell of it, I wash my hands for like half an hour to get rid of it.
Yeah,
so the thought of that being on the nape of one's neck.
Thank you. Some elite level pettiness from a man who puts up some massive festive inflatables outside his house in Chessington.
Okay.
He created his own world of adventures.
Nice.
But other people people on the street were not impressed with 31-year-old Dave Giddings, who's gone viral.
Why is it always a Dave?
It's always a Dave. So you may have seen this story. It's gone viral across the UK. Two 20-foot inflatables. An anonymous letter from someone who lived on the street was popped through his letterbox, and it was all in block capitals, and it read, "To the occupier of this house, I live down the road and I'm absolutely horrified by the giant Santa and giant snowman inflatables you put up outside your property. They look cheap, tacky, and completely out of place in our quiet street. The inflatables are an eyesore. They ruin the character of the road, and they make the whole area look ridiculous rather than the nice, tidy street it usually is." It goes on even longer. This is not a request for a formal complaint, blah, blah, blah. I will be reporting this matter to the council and the Residents Association and urging others to do the same. Do the decent thing and bring them in before tonight. Regards, an unhappy neighbour.
Does he know who it is?
They don't know who
it is. I reckon it's Rebecca Vardy.
Could well be.
She hasn't done anything for a while.
She's been quiet for so long.
I also like the cowboy nature of get rid of this by sundown.
I know, yeah. It's a good demand. Yeah. If you're going to make a demand, put a deadline on
it. Also, as well, I don't know why I need to know this. It's all in capitals, you said that.
Yeah,
Is it typed or is it written?
It's written.
They've written it all in capitals.
Yeah, under unhappy
neighbour.
Well,
that's an extra neighbor. Level, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And under
you
unhappy
neighbour. You can't caps lock your hand, can you? You know what I mean?
You can't. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so he got this warning. What did Dave Giddings do? He put up another inflatable, a brand new inflatable of a Grinch, and he printed out the letter on a massive sheet and hung it next to the Grinch inflatable. So he's doubled down. He's gone even bigger on this house street
Dave.
In Chessington. It's such a Dave thing to do, isn't it? Don't mess with Dave, I think is the lesson.
That's what we're learning here,
people. Don't rile a Dave, because they will not react well. We don't know who the person is, but luckily the Hypebeast Womble producer Mark lives on in the same area as Chessington. You go past
he lives
street.
In Chessington World of Adventures. So, it's weird. Yeah.
He's always late. He's like, sorry guys, Long Bloomer's a nightmare. Yeah, that's mine. Yeah. Absolute gridlock.
Yeah. What'd you have for dinner last night? Candy floss.
So he's going to go and try and knock some doors. He's going to pound the streets.
Try and find out
who the person behind the letter is.
Not got much going on after the show nowadays, Mark.
Reheating rice is the subject matter of this second section. It's been drummed into us as kids by grandparents, I'm pretty sure, that it's so dangerous to reheat rice. My grandparents said it. My wife, Katie, still says it. You can't reheat rice.
Reheating the rice. I mean, it's just such a waste of money on a takeaway. If you don't have the rice the next day.
It'll poison you, they used to say back in the day.
Can I say, I was in a situation 7 years ago where I did eat some rice and an ambulance needed to be called.
Really? Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Wasn't it something else with the rice?
What was it?
Yeah, some beef that had been out for a few weeks, but other than that, I think it was mostly the rice.
What, you reheated some rice?
No, I ate some rice that I think had been kept outdoors.
Oh, right. Okay.
Don't eat outdoor rice.
No, that was always a hard and fast rule when I was a kid, and I realised now that was the thing.
Don't eat outdoor rice. Yeah. So what you meant to do, as long as you refrigerate it straight after use, and then reheat it thoroughly, it will not poison.
Having the mushroom rice, the remainder of the mushroom rice out of the container the next day is one of life's great pleasures.
Yeah, yeah.
If there was a way you could order tomorrow morning's Chinese takeaway, I would order it.
Can I have
cold Chinese, please? Yeah.
Yes, and a chicken jack fries. But what I'd like you to do is just put it under the counter. Just leave it there.
But anyway, I mean, look, the debate may rage on, but someone who's taken a side is the excellent What Will He Cook from Instagram. He's a chef who also sings songs. He's explained that we are okay to reheat rice in a reworking of this Phil Collins classic.
Hello. This is a song about having a fear of rice that somehow we seem to all have developed. Your nan's always said that it's a fact. There's no way you can eat it.
Oh, it's good.
If you want to keep your stomach intact, then you mustn't reheat it. Oh, think twice. Whatever will you do with yesterday's rice?
Oh, yes.
It's quite nice.
Quite nice, it is.
It is nice.
You've got one chance to do it. It won't kill you if you reheat rice.
Brilliant.
just microwave it.
Just microwave it.
Just microwave
it. It's fine. The rallying call for the 6-7 trend to stop, which I'm fully on board with. Don't do the arms, producer Mark.
Don't you dare do the arms, producer Mark.
It's the scourge of all primary schools. They're allowed to say it in class anymore, but when they leave the school, they just all start shouting it in the street. My son Ted joins in. It's based on nothing, a nonsense hip-hop song from a while ago. Right. And they just say it because it's annoying. And it's been everywhere this year. Even Keir Starmer was saying it to some kids in a school once. It was horrendous.
Oh, it's not on the same.
6-7.
6-7.
Yeah.
So weird.
6-7. Everyone is. 6-7. Is it post 6-7?
We're not over that yet. We're not over that.
Trying to get in with future voters there. But yeah, I mean, yeah, he got told off for doing it. He says, actually, we're not allowed to do it in the class, so he got told off, as you may have heard, on social ammo. But now this kid has written a diss track. His name is Ryan Family. He's a very young boy who said, enough is enough. This year needs to be the end of the 6-7 shouting.
Stop saying 6-7 again. I'm here now. It's literally almost 2026, so stop that commenting.
Oh, with the commenting.
Stop commenting 6-7. I know you're gonna comment 6-7. Stop commenting 6-6-6-7. I know you're gonna die, but I'm gonna pick you up.
Gets a bit dark at the end. Yeah. I'm going to beat you up if you keep saying 6-7. Obviously, straight away, everyone commented underneath 6-7, as you can imagine. But I'm fully supportive of that guy. It needs to stop.
It's got to stop for next year, surely.
It's got to stop. Surely it can't carry
particularly
on.
For you, Mark. You're in your 40s.
Yeah, exactly. He's still dabs. I mean, I think it's a lost cause, really.
Have you seen his stank leg recently? Yeah. Incredible.
And then some festive music for you as well. There's no singing Pet Friday this week on Social Ammo, so okay. An early festive special. This has been sent to me a lot over the weekend. A choir in a church in Beverley in Yorkshire doing Ding Dong Merrily on High, which is quite a hard carol to sing because that long note in the middle, you know, the glory a bit, so it takes a long, deep breath to get through it. So the St Mary's Church Choir have enlisted the help of Mickey the Dog to sing it, and it's quite impressive. He joins in at the chorus properly, just warming up. Here he comes. Oh, wow.
I mean, he's a bit flat at the end.
Yeah, a bit flat at the end. But yeah, he's warming up. It's impressive.
At least you now know what the dog is for Excelsis.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then, as we all know, Dave, Christmas is the most small talk heavy time of the year. It's just everywhere. You can't help it. And a great clip has been shared with me many times this week by from the Very British Problems feed. It's him stood in front of a mirror rehearsing his end of year small talk. We're going to be doing a lot of it. This guy practices his lines. Here he is.
A few bits and bobs left to get.
Yeah.
Just a few bits and bobs left to get.
I've said
good
that.
Delivery, yeah, good delivery.
Nah, just having a quiet one.
Yeah, I've said that as well.
Just having a quiet one this year.
Good, yeah, nice.
So when do you finish work?
Another tick, yeah, I've done that.
Had that yesterday.
When do you break up for Christmas?
Oh, little twist on it then.
Up to much for New Year?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You up to much for New Year? work on that one. Well, I hope that Father Christmas thinks I've been a good boy. What was that? Don't improvise, just stick to the classics.
Stick to the classics! And if I don't see you before, have a great Christmas.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Is it weird that we have all been pronouncing Lidl incorrectly?
Yes, this is a twist I didn't see coming.
No. It is Lidl.
Yeah, we're getting
the American TikToker was correct. Yeah. We mocked.
Yeah.
We are in the wrong. Charlie, who just feels it necessary to add, and I respect this, Charlie, thank you. Love the show.
Yes.
Charlie's not having a pop at us like everyone else normally does.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the correct pronunciation of Lidl. It's Lidl.
Lidl.
Lidl is pronounced Lee Dull, with the first syllable like the English word Lee and the second sounding like dull. It's a German name, and the I in German is pronounced as a long E sound.
Yeah.
So it's Lidl.
Lidl. It makes sense, but no one's ever called it Lidl in the UK. No. I appreciate
the constructive criticism for the show, though. That's nice.
Yeah. Thanks, Charlie.
I think it's pretentious. It's like saying Paris. I'm not doing that.
The thing is, it's the Moët Moët thing. Like, Moët is the correct pronunciation, but then you're forced to go, it's pronounced Moët. That is the correct pronunciation.
Every time you do it, yeah.
So we can't be saying Lidl, oh, that is how you actually say it. You know, then you're just, that's you for the rest of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too much explanation.
And plus, Lidl and Moët are, I'm going to buy a bottle of Moët at Lidl. It's just no one wants to say
that. I don't
want to
be the guy who corrects it. My friend's like, I'm going down to Lidl, and I'm like, I see someone's never been to the area.
You do realise the I in Lidl is a German I, which, of course, is a long E sound.
I hope
sound.
I'm not wrong about Aldi as well. It must be. It's Aldi. Not Aldi.
It's Alan D. It's
Alan D.
Alan D.
Yeah,
Alan D. Right, yeah. Oh, no, no.
Take it off. Matt, I believe Ted's come to the fore
this
week.
My six-year-old son. Is it weird? Well, Grandad asked him what he wants for Christmas the other day, and he simply replied he wanted the board game inspired by Michael McIntyre's The Wheel, which was quite surprising for a six-year-old. But he's been watching The Wheel a lot recently, because we made YouTube Kids. You had to access it via a pin, so he's locked out because he was watching a lot of brain rot on there. Okay. So he can't access YouTube Kids anymore. So he started watching, he's delving into the iPlayer, and the shows he chooses is bizarre. He watches The Wheel and Alan Carr's Picture Slam. He loves a Saturday night prime time.
He's
TV
a shiny
quiz.
Floor kind of kid.
Yeah, he loves a shiny floor kid.
There's loads of cartoons on iPlayer.
Yeah,
he's not interested.
He's six.
He just wants Newsnight.
Although your son's taken to watching All Creatures Great.
He's got no leg to stand on. Yeah,
this generation. What's going on with
it? It's the new 6-7.
It must be. We asked Evie what she'd like for Christmas, right? Yeah. And she replied, oh, I'd love a new pyjama set.
Oh, wow, really?
Is that you're right, Nana?
Did you hear someone say that? Did you hear a grown-up say that?
I'd love a new pyjama set so I can settle down and watch The Wheel. Yeah. How lovely.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Is it weird that I've become obsessed with the scrub daddy sponge from Ellie in Devon? That's one of my erotic dancing names.
Scrub daddy. Welcome him to the stage. Are they like a high-end scouring pad, are they, the scrub
daddy? Have you got
daddy?
Them up there?
Yeah,
it comes in a smiley face sort of
shape.
They've
got smiley faces on them. Yeah, they look quite fun, I suppose.
Do they? I guess
I do love cleaning my hole.
Actually, this used to be work, but now it's just fun.
Now I've got a scrub daddy sponge. It's slightly weird, Ellie. Yeah. Slightly weird. Mark in Reading wants to know from us, because we're well placed to be able to judge. Mm. Is it weird that I eat penguin chocolate bars without reading the joke?
Oh, what a waste. Yeah. What a waste.
Someone's put a lot of time into that.
Yeah.
Live a little. Get yourself a scrub daddy sponge and just start reading those jokes. But also, I think this is weird. Mark, not reading the joke, I can live with that, but when it comes to Kit Kats, he just bites straight into them instead of breaking them into fingers.
That feels wrong.
That's odd, yeah. That is. The penguin thing's worse, though. That's how Ebenezer Scrooge has described him. Charles Dickens said that was the way he described him was, he doesn't read the joke, he throws the penguin away.
Yeah. Disrespectful.
Mark says, I don't know at what age I started doing both of these things, but I'm quite disappointed in myself.
Yeah.
And so you should be, Mark, and so you should be.
Change your ways.
Craig may need to, not change his ways as such, but they're very private ways, and I don't know whether Craig should be messaging this into a national radio station. That's my takeaway from this, but I'll let you guys judge, as I say. Good morning, Dave. Is it weird that whenever I need a wee-wee, I sit down and time it, even holding it in as long as I can in a bid to better a PB? Which, in case you are wondering, currently stands at 2 minutes and 11 seconds.
Wow.
That is long.
I'm 48 years old. Merry Christmas.
I smell a team challenge coming on.
Oh, don't say smell.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're the only one who has asparagus on this team, right?
Yeah. I'm going to bring the scrub daddy spongy with me if we ever do that as a team challenge.
That's a long time. That doesn't sound healthy.
That's like the length of a Beatles song. That's like a song from the 60s.
I want to hold your hand. yeah, that's pretty weird, Craig, to be fair. But, you know, thank you so much for sharing with the group. Really appreciate that. Glenn, what about you? Have you been weird?
Yeah.
Not as weird as Craig, obviously, but...
I didn't realise I'd do this. I subconsciously play the most boring game if I'm scrolling through a document. You know, like sometimes you have to scroll all the way to the bottom of some terms and conditions, and you're not reading it, you're just scrolling down.
Yeah.
I realised when I do that, I move the mouse cursor as I'm moving down to so that I try and fit between all the gaps in the words, so I don't hit any words on the way down.
Right.
That's my own little game. And if it hits any, it's like the guy who hits the propeller on the way down in Titanic. You've got to make a little sound effect with your mouth.
Andrew, are you weird like Glenn and Craig?
My friend has got revealed to me a very weird show that he's saving up to watch on Christmas Day. And I think if you'd given me 10 years, I could have never guessed that the show he's saving up to watch on Christmas Day.
I love this. What is it?
It's this year's Eurovision Song Contest.
What? He's waiting all this time.
He obviously knows who was won, but he's not seen any of the performances. For him, it's like the best comedy ever. He can't wait to sit and watch hours and hours of it on Christmas Day.
That is weird. Tell him from us, that is weird.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show on your national Cover Anything in Chocolate Day. And as always, Matt's gone too far. Matt, you must be so sticky right now.
Yeah, I went too far, you're right. I like to celebrate every year.
Can I lick you?
I do a different part of my anatomy every year. Sorry, it was a mad idea.
It was a crazy idea, but I would love to give you a lick. I mean, let's face facts. The greatest confectionery good is a chocolate-covered nut. I mean,
that is good.
We have to.
As good as it gets.
Those swanky, like high-end chocolate-covered Brazil nuts are the Christmas treat that I am looking forward to the most.
Yeah, no, I once had chocolate-covered pork scratchings. There was a guy
who used to make them.
They were amazing.
They sent them in to us, didn't they?
They used to send them in all the time. So good. It doesn't sound like it would work, but it does.
I go for a pretzel, but maybe not a pork scratching.
It also sounds like something you shouldn't have eaten if it was being posted through your letterbox. But yet you did.
Yes, I did.
The guy was sending them in every year.
Yeah, a guy would send them in. No, it was all above board.
He thinks there are pork scratches.
Oh, no. I'm now questioning everything I ate.
I mean, if you haven't got the budget to go full swanky Brazil nut, you know, covered in chocolate, which, as I say, is a treat I give myself once a year. The peanut M&M is also one of the great.
Yes, my favourite.
And there's an M&M world, and you go in there, and they've diversified their branding, and there's lots of different companies. I don't know why bother. All you need is the peanut M&M.
Because it makes you feel like you're at the cinema.
It does make you feel like you're at the cinema. Yeah. What would you cover in chocolate today if you could cover anything in chocolate, Glenn?
Oh, Matt.
You're not used to being asked that just after 6 o'clock in the morning.
Can it be something that already exists in a chocolatey format? Because for some reason, you saying that sentence has made me absolutely crave cornflakes covered in chocolate.
Those cakes you make at school.
Exactly. So primary school cake.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's how we're celebrating National Cover Anything in Chocolate Day. Of course, you celebrate it as you see fit. But right now, it's on with the show. For me, and maybe if they behave very, very well for the next couple of hours, the team, Christmas has come early. So to give you the backstory to this, 7 months ago, I was bundled into the back of a car and taken to a mystery London location. And waiting for me was someone ready to be interviewed within an inch of their lives. That person was Tom Cruise, and we were talking all things Mission Impossible. This was the only breakfast show in the UK that got any time with Tom. Here's a little reminder of what went down. Alex Zane.
Oh, yeah.
He is on the legendary Tom Cruise cake list, and he is insufferable, Tom. Honestly, every year, straight on Instagram it goes. So please, can I be on the cake list too? For two good reasons. Hear me out.
Well, your neighbours, can't you just go over and get a piece?
He never shares. Never gives me a slice. Honestly,
really?
He just films it and then scoffs it down behind closed doors. I love cake, and B, it will really annoy Alex. So
yeah, good.
Perfect.
Anything to annoy Alex, that's awesome. I'm in. Let's do it.
It is.
All you had to say is the first one. This will really annoy Alex.
So, yes, just to reiterate here, Alex Zahner, a fantastic broadcaster and a friend of mine for like 25 years. We live really near one another, and he's been on Tom Cruise's cake list for a long time.
A long time.
He is insufferable.
You've wanted this for years as well. Haven't you? Just
and it has finally happened, everybody. It has finally happened.
He's been.
This will really annoy Alex. Here it is. Let me hold it up.
Oh, so she's a beauty.
Thank you, Andrea. To Dave Berry, warmest wishes to you this holiday season. Regards, Tom Cruise.
Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you, Andrea. It means a lot. So, it's in a white box. It has an ivory and gold ribbon in a bow. And it has a really shiny, glittery kind of Christmas decoration with a pearl in the middle. I presume it's a real pearl.
You've got to keep that.
This is Tom Cruise.
You've got to keep that,
dangling from it. So, you know, just once again, just wanted to...
This will really annoy Alex.
Yeah, thanks for that, Tom. In fact, a little behind-the-scenes thing. As I left and, like, the next person to do the interview, someone from kind of China was coming in to do a little 2 minutes with Tom. He actually, like, paused proceedings to speak to his, like, management team. And he actually said, make sure that Dave gets a cake.
Wow. Oh,
make sure he gets his before Alex.
Yes. Does this come from America?
Yeah. They delivered it. Yesterday afternoon, I was going about my normal day and the Hypebeast Womble executive producer Mark dropped in to the to my WhatsApp and said, I have some very exciting news. And then the picture came. He said, I'm scared to carry it around. Wow. In case he drops it.
I just want to know who else is on the list. This must just be like you and a ton of actors and from all
and
over Hollywood.
Do they all come on one plane? Like, are the cakes come over from America? I mean, like, this has got more air miles than me. Yeah,
okay, I'm in. Oh, my goodness. It's a ring.
Let's try and show you. It's a bundt cake, a white chocolate bundt cake.
Yeah, it's from Doane's Bakery in Woodland Hills, California. It's $140.
Is it? Oh, it looks beautiful.
That's why Mark was so nervous walking around with it.
That's why Tom Cruise has to still keep making Mission Impossible.
Just because of the cake deal. We're going to try some.
We've got to eat some.
Shall we try some?
Yeah, just have a big mouthful.
We're going to do that. By the way, Mission Impossible Final Reckoning is available to buy and rent now. It's a really good film. Yeah. I really enjoyed talking to Tom about it. And if you want to watch the entire interview, you can do so on the Absolute Radio YouTube channel. It's still up there for you to enjoy. As I say, this is 7 months in the making. Yeah. Not the cake. The delivery of the cake.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
National Device Appreciation Day. It is, of course, an exciting day dedicated to celebrating the devices that make our lives easier.
Really? What a day this is.
Apparently, we're picking days that are too niche.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I mean,
it's nice to rebalance. You know, your mobile phone gets a lot of bad press, doesn't it? You know, everyone's always talking about...
What, you mean mine specifically? Well, what have you heard?
All of ours do, you know. Oh, we're having too much screen time, doom scrolling. They're so bad, aren't they? But it's about time we just thanked our own phones, don't you think?
I think one of the great pleasures in life is bunging anyone under the age of 8, any kind of device.
Yes.
Just letting them get on with it. Just giving you half hour.
It's free childcare.
Of your own time.
It? Yeah, it's free childcare. And it completely engrosses them as well. You don't hear a peep out of them.
Not absolutely.
Good half hour.
You feel a little bit poorly. Yeah, let me make you a cozy pink drink and just shove a bit of Bluey on.
Yeah, thank you, iPad.
That's my appreciation. Yeah, thank you,
right,
iPad.
You're right,
thank you, tablets.
Yes, yeah. And thank you, Siri. You know, you often don't listen and you interrupt conversations. But you interrupt conversations when I don't want to and then don't listen when I ask you to do stuff. But thank you for being there.
And of course, if it wasn't for things like digital radios and apps on smartphones and smart speakers, you wouldn't be able to listen to us every day.
Exactly,
that's
the
big one, isn't it?
That is the big one.
I was going to say I'd have got very, very lost without Google Maps. But actually, that's really, realistically, the one we should be thanking our phones for.
So there we go. It is National Device Appreciation Day. I think we've shown ours. We've also demonstrated what terrible parents and aunties we are. So on with the show. We were joined on air by Lee, the joiner from Blackpool, mm-hmm. who won a limited edition Dave Berry Breakfast Show mug by playing our early morning game, the Slow Mo Solo. And during our conversation, Lee, the joiner from Blackpool, he divulged this. Are joiners a section of society that get through a lot of hot beverages?
Probably about 10 a day.
It's got to be in the top 1% of beverages, surely.
Well, surely, Andrea, that is a good point. So what I want to know, inspired by listener Lee earlier this morning at 8:12:15, that is 8:12:15, do you or people in your chosen profession exceed 10 cups of hot beverage a day? So as I say, it's 8:12:15. Can Lee the joiner, or the joiners, to the joiners,
the joiners, raise your glasses.
Can they be bested? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I know. I'm imagining like people that work in the home, like handymen, gardeners, they get through a lot of tea, don't they? They're always getting through lots a lot of tea brought out by their clients.
Yeah, that's true.
I reckon they're going to have a lot, a high consumption.
I mean, you'd imagine that breakfast show people would be up there, but I have two.
We have two hot beverages a day, sensible.
And that's it. Andrew, what's about you?
Two for me as well. I've actually got a headache because I haven't had my coffee yet today.
Right. Yeah. We kind of try and do it during the five words, five grand section of the show.
Get it all out the way early and then that's enough. I sometimes have a cup of tea over the evening.
Do you?
It doesn't affect me.
No, okay, it doesn't affect me. But yeah, okay, so we're having like two or three, which is way, way, way down the pecking order. So the joiners are having 10. Do you or people in your profession exceed that? As I say, it's 8:12:15. Get in touch right now. We're kind of doing a bit of a national survey here is what we're doing on The Breakfast Show. Listener Lee likes tea. This happened early doors on The Breakfast Show. Are joiners a section of society that get through a lot of hot beverages?
Probably about 10 a day.
It's got to be in the top 1% of beverages, surely.
So as soon as Andrea said that, I thought, well, we have to find out. We have to survey the nation. Lee, statistical, the joiner from Blackpool, he won a mug early this morning, and then he said he has 10 cups of tea out of it single day. Well.
But is it a lot?
Yeah, there's a higher or lower now, aren't we, with the nation?
100%. Andy in Bromley, he works on set. He starts at 3 a.m. and gets up to 15 cups per day.
Wow.
He's raised the stakes.
Putting the hours in.
He is.
Ellie from Parsons Green, who is one of the producers on this very breakfast show, as we know, Ellie can put it away. She takes our kind of stats through the roof because we're quite, you know, as I say, we're 2 to 3 cups a day.
Yeah, she's raising the average.
Well, to 12 cups of Earl Grey with oat milk.
Yes.
Ellie buys a box of Earl Grey tea bags per week.
Crazy. Wow.
Goodness me. Morning team, plumbers have about 12 hot beverages a day. As soon as we're going to a customer, you're always told you need to fill the kettle up before we turn the water off. This guarantees a hot beverage. And we've heard about this techers before already, haven't we? Morning, Dave and the team. I work overnight in a catering butcher's warehouse, loading vans to deliver to pubs and restaurants. Let's give that a round of applause to him.
Yes.
In Coventry, keep up the great work. We start at 1 a.m. So far, I've had 6 large cups of tea. We'll have another before I go home, then maybe 8 more during the day.
I can't do the quick maths on that. How many is that in total?
Andrew, 14? Please do the quick 14. Merry Christmas to you all. Best wishes, Ian. Dave, there is no profession involved here, but my parents stayed over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I have never boiled a kettle so much.
Boomers go mad for it.
I don't think my mum drinks water. She's just pure 100% tea all day.
Never drink water.
2 cups of tea, then a coffee before breakfast.
Whoa. Oh, come on.
Then after breakfast, literally an hourly thing until bed at 11 p.m.
Every hour.
Oh, gosh.
So this is very impressive, this next message. But, plot spoiler, not our winner. That will be revealed after the next song I play across the network. Dave, I worked in a butcher shop and we used to do about 20 cups per day. Ooh. It worked at about 1 every half an hour. Just my hands would be shaking too much to hold a butcher's knife. I'd be frightened to pick up any sharp implements if I was drinking 20 cups of tea a day. What do you mean we got to the end of the year, we're running out of content ideas? How dare you say that or think that? No, it's important because, you know, we know that Lee likes tea and we thought 10 was pretty impressive, but the numbers just keep on ramping up until we reach Neil.
Is this the gold tea mug that Neil's getting now?
Yeah, there must be. We must invest in one of those for Neil because he drinks 25 cups of tea
per day working remotely, yes, whenever he's about to jump on another meeting and he's got a long day, he just brews up.
So he's got a headset. So it makes it easier to make the tea.
So he's making the tea. So it means he's got to 25 cups a day. But Neil, we spoke to him and he was actually on a call, so he couldn't come on air. Yeah. Ironically. Yeah. But he's got builders in too. Oh. Well, it's going to be a tea fest in Neil's house.
He'll need two kettles. Maybe one of those.
He needs an urn. Yeah. That's what he needs.
Yeah, he needs to fill the burn, fire up the urn, Neil.
You need to get an
fill
urn,
the burn,
mate.
And fire up the urn, yeah, my friend.
You can get an urn for about between like 60 and 100 quid nowadays.
How do you know that?
Urns, that's how much urns.
Because I asked Matt to investigate those things. He's such a brilliant co-host. I say things like, can you do a deep dive into urns? And Matt's like, yeah, coming right up.
I mean, I only ever see urns in village halls. So if you ever go to a village hall, there's always an urn. And they cost between, I'd say, between 55 and 100 pounds. The more you earn, the better you earn, pretty much, I think is how it goes. So,
but there are baby urn.
Neil definitely needs one in his life, doesn't
he? I'd love drinking from an urn.
I'd love to have an urn.
I'd rather have an urn at home than one of those fancy George Clooney coffee machines.
I really would. They feel quite dangerous, that's the only thing, I think.
Right.
They just feel a bit old school and like something could go wrong at any moment.
But we've got the fancy hot taps now,
yes,
haven't we?
Will
the urn disappear?
It's obsolete.
It's just the end of the urn. No, because what I like about the urn is you never know how sprightly the handle's going to be. It's like, is that just an element of a little bit of danger? Yeah. It's like, oh, it's a nice smooth,
it's lovely. It's a
smooth
lovely
hinge
action, isn't it?
There. Yeah, it's a lovely, lovely thing. We've not run out of ideas. We are talking about urns.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Where it comes to national days, we're sport for choice.
Yeah.
National Regifting Day. Let's start with that. Right, are you a regifter?
Yes, wherever possible. Yeah. I often keep gift bags. Don't write anything on the tag and then reuse them as much as you can.
I love it when you get a good uncrinkled bag.
Gift bags, they're so ripe for reuse.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember we did that thing on the show some years ago about rubbish gift in a posh bag?
Yes.
I practice that.
You know,
you go and get something that's rather average, you shove that in a swanky carrier bag.
It impresses everyone, doesn't it?
And also, it just keeps the wheels turning. It's good for the...
It's good
for the planet.
Everyone's winning.
Everyone gets a gift.
Except for maybe the person that gets their hopes up when they see the posh bag and they go, oh, it's just a bar of soap or something.
It's a bar of soap in a Selfridges bag. I don't know the unique places you would give somebody a bar of soap.
Answer
the telephone like Buddy the Elf Day.
That's the day, is it? Today?
Today. There's loads of today.
Will Ferrell answering
I don't know
the phone.
How he answers the phone.
He just, like himself, pretty much. It's just his normal voice, isn't it? In the Elf,
hello.
I think. Hello.
National Crime Junkie Day.
Oh, wow.
So this must be people who
real
like
crime.
Real crime podcasts and stuff. Did you ever get bitten by the real crime
I've listened to a few real crime podcasts, like the long form ones that were quite big a few years ago. But yeah, I wouldn't say I was obsessed.
You've dipped your toes in... No, not at all. No. You've dipped your toes... I don't even like the kind of real crime Netflix shows or any of those
things. I like the
American
delivery style of those real crime
podcasts. Well, we see people sitting down and doing the sink clap and everything.
And the slow speak, the way they speak along, it's very specific.
And they kind of sit there and go like, oh, okay, what... How would I describe Debbie? And that's your starting.
Quite like that.
Anyway, there you go. There's lots to celebrate today. On with the show. I just want to say right now that in the build-up to what is it now? The 18th of December, I was strong-armed by members of the team here, and I won't name them, producer Ellie and Matt, into finally getting a real tree. Our first
real
tree.
Well,
and it was the agenda that was being pushed my way. The rhetoric was strong.
Heavy.
While you guys out there, you know, you lovely people out there were enjoying the songs, all I heard for months was, go get a real tree. But think of how nice it will smell in your hands.
Yes, stand by that.
Real big tree propaganda.
Oh, yeah, 100% accurate.
Yeah. You're in the pocket of big coniferous.
Yeah,
yeah. That's you,
mate. I am. Yeah, happy to be
it's
there.
It's the biggest mistake I've ever made because it's already starting to die.
Did you put it in water though? Didn't you?
No, I didn't. I put it straight on the carpet.
We put it in water, didn't we?
So I've got to rescue it now. And I did a little search on it yesterday. This is now because I've got a real tree.
Yeah.
These are the top five handy little tips. Yeah, you've got a lot of time in your life, Dave. Yeah, this is fine. So I've got to spritz the tree. So I've got to buy a spritz. spritzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, then prune the tree, right? Which I haven't got, frankly, time to do that. And then just as another little handy suggestion, cut the bottom of the trunk. Yeah, I'll undecorate the tree, get a saw.
Get a saw, take it down, yeah.
Cut the bottom of the trunk. Find it a new home.
Hi, it's me from next door. Would you like this Christmas tree?
Increase the humidity in the room. What if energy bills the way they are?
Oh, yeah.
What,
yeah,
this, you don't get any of this stuff with a fake tree.
I've done less to keep my kids alive.
Just squirt him in the face with a water gun.
He'll be okay.
You feel okay now? You're awfully small.
Yeah, why?
Look, this sounds like humbugginess to me, this Dave.
Humbuggery?
Don't say that. It's fine.
It's a noun. It's
the
fine.
The smell is great, isn't it? The smell is great.
It's not great. It's
it
fine.
Is.
It's fine.
The smell of a dying tree in your living room. It's beautiful.
The worst thing is you leave it on its side as well. You don't even do that.
Yeah, so I mean, I wish I'd got a fake tree.
No.
Never again.
Oh, I'm disappointed to hear
I'm
this.
I'm out. I've let it go. I feel good. Merry Christmas, everyone. If you're still in, there are only 6 days remaining until you can proudly say to your friends and family, you have completed the world's first ever Mariah Geddon. Now, the challenge started on the 1st of December, and as I say, it ends on midnight on December 24th. Only the original song counts, so you can listen to covers and remixes, you're absolutely fine. The moment you hear that song and recognise it, you are out, you have been Mariah'd. And finally, you cannot deliberately Mariah someone. You can't play All I Want for Christmas Is You up in someone's grill. Don't be a Mariah Carey. So as soon as you get Mariah'd, you need to let us know the details at 8, 12, 15, as so many of you do, and they are always tales of festive woe. Morning, Dave. Morning, team. I got Mariah'd at the stables on Saturday morning when I took my earphones out to say hi to somebody. It's the last time I try and be sociable when I'm doing my hay nets from Jill Jones in Staffordshire.
Being Mariah'd in the manger. It feels very festive, doesn't it?
So true, Andrew. Feels so right. True. Ah! Starts Andy from Letchworth. I've been Mariah'd, Dave. I'm a delivery driver, and we have a different guy in the warehouse today, and he has changed the radio from absolute classic rock to magic. Is this a sackable offence, asks Andy. I think I might seek a disciplinary.
Yeah.
I'm off to contact HR now.
It's worth checking in with them.
You can't move from classic rock to magic. It's too big.
Too big a shift. Yeah.
It's far too big a shift.
From rock to rock.
From rock to gock, in this case, but yeah. Hi, guys. Kirsty here. Sorry, let me ring the bell. Kirsty here. I was Mariah'd at my daughter's brownie session. I had volunteered to help out, and they played it while they did their Christmas party games. There was no escape, and thus proving no good deed goes unpunished. Got it!
Never volunteer for
ever,
anything.
Ever. Yeah.
Love is a mistake.
Yeah. Morning, Dave. I was sitting at home yesterday evening, and I heard a noise outside. It was the local council going around collecting money for charity, playing music. And yeah, it was Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
No!
Morning, Dave and the team. My son was Mariah'd in his Welsh class. He hates learning Welsh at the best of times. He told me he was ready to flip the table when his teacher played it.
Why can't they play the Welsh language version? That wouldn't count, would it?
If you speak Welsh and you could do a cover of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You,
oh, that would be lovely.
Please voice note it to us, even if it's just the opening gambit. Yeah. It's 033-0123-1215. That's how you voice note us. If you're over 16, you are a Welsh speaker, and you know the words to All I Want for Christmas Is You, please record a bit and send it in right now. I would love that. And covers don't count, as we say.
No, exactly.
Everyone
it's
would
fine.
Get a little bit of Mariah in their
lives.
Yeah,
it'd be lovely.
And it would encourage this young lad to enjoy his Welsh lessons, which would be a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
He could stop flipping tables and start learning really long place names.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a win-win.
And the topic du jour today. What only comes out of Christmas in your house or your family's houses? You know, there's that obdéjà, that piece of tat, That thing you never see all year and then suddenly it's out. I don't want to know about the tree and the decorations. Maybe the thing that adorns the top of the tree, that would count. I mean, the fairy that we have on top of the tree at my mum and dad's house.
Oh, yeah.
It's been around since the 50s. It's literally now just a head and one wing.
Yeah.
And every year they've got to be there.
I think we've still got one that I made when I was at school, you know, like with a cardboard base for that.
When people spoke like this, you mean? So the reason we're doing this is because something remarkable happened in the studio yesterday. The Hypebeast Womble executive producer Mark decided it was time again, that time of year where he'll try and talk to a celebrity, which never goes well. And he decided to speak to our next door neighbour, the legendary Ken Bruce, informing Ken Bruce that his in-laws have got a tray that comes out every Christmas with Ken Bruce on it.
Ken Bruce tray?
That they won on Radio 2 back in like the 80s or something.
Wow.
It's beige with a green lining and it says Ken Bruce on it.
Wow. He was leading the merchandise and game.
And Mark, Mark hit him with all these facts and Ken just kind of went, aye. And he just went into his studio because what else the man going to do? that's great. And then he looked at his producer Andy through the glass and gave the kind of lock the doors. sign. And understandably. So the Ken Bruce tray comes out in the Lockett household.
Amazing, for
Christmas. What about you guys? 8, 12, 15. For me, it's two words, and I still don't fully understand what it is, if I'm honest. Baby sham.
Yeah, baby sham's lovely stuff.
I was so excited when baby shambles became a thing, because it reminded me of my nan, Pete Doherty and my nan.
You had the special glasses, did you?
We had the baby sham glasses. Yeah, they came out of Christmas with a little prancing kind of Bambi on the front.
Cute.
I always thought it was like champagne, well, cheap champagne, but it's actually perry. It's like pear cider.
Right.
And when I was on tour as Onslow early this year, I went to Shepton Mallet, and there's a big cider
Was it on
factory.
Your rider?
Can we
get the baby shams for Onslow in Studio One?
And so I went past the factory where baby sham is made, and basically I had loads of pear cider. No one was drinking. Everyone was drinking the apple cider.
Yeah.
They rebranded it as baby sham. It became massive in the 80s. They sold loads
Huge,
of it.
Huge, wasn't it?
They sold absolutely loads of it. So it's quite weak. It's weaker than champagne. It's only like 6%.
Okay.
But you can still buy it now. Sparkling Perry. Proper retro
Has it
Christmas
still got the
drink.
Little prancing Bambi
yes,
on it?
Yes, it has. Yeah. You can get your glasses out, Dave.
We've stumbled across a two-pronged attack now, haven't we? So what only comes out of Christmas, the strange, unusual things in your house or your family's house, 8, 12, 15. The same number for is anyone still drinking baby sham? We like to do a bit of topicality. We like to give you an example of what national day you could celebrate. And, well, we've got a real versus battle happening.
Mm.
This is a clash of the titans, because on one hand, you could be the kind of person to celebrate National Garish Christmas Jumper Day, or on the other hand, you could celebrate National Emo Day.
Yeah.
Fight! Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, which side are you on, Matt?
Well, I have a garish emo Christmas jumper, so I think I'm in the middle, yeah. My Chemical Romance Black Parade Christmas Festival.
Lovely.
It's a lovely piece of work.
Yeah. Andrea, you're more likely to kind of don the Jingle Bell Christmas tree jumper or the eyeliner?
I think I'm going to have to go eyeliner, because I don't even own a Christmas jumper.
Oh.
I'm actually shocked by that.
Yeah. I used to have one. I don't know where it's gone. There's one in our house. It's my husband's. Technically, he got it secondhand, and we think it might have been a woman's Christmas jumper from the 80s.
Really?
It's got very big shoulder pads.
This jumper's got the richest backstory I've ever heard.
It's the only one in the house, and he wears it all the time. And it's hideous. It's got like a knitted scene on the front of Christmas decorations and on a tree and presents underneath it, but it's kind of creepy.
Oh, yeah, I mean, look, you only got to look around the building here. We work in media. It's what all the young people are wearing now with no sense of post-irony. Glenn, what about you? Are you emo or are you garish Christmas jumper?
I'm an Andrea's husband's Christmas jumper kind of guy.
He stole it off you. That's how we got it.
Yeah.
I've been done up like a kipper this year because I'm not the kind of person. I'm wearing a black polo neck and black trousers as
emo.
We speak.
Yeah.
I'm full emo.
Yes,
it
is,
I'm not the kind of person to don a garish or novelty Christmas jumper.
Yeah.
But now what Sarah Jane's worked out is if it's a gift from Evie, then I've got to wear it. I'm obliged to wear it.
wear it.
Oh, yes. No,
so yes. I folded, it's got a cat on it in a Christmas hat, right?
Oh.
And it's got bells, actual real bells on it. So I tried to fold it up and hide it in the bottom drawer of the wardrobe. And every time I open the drawer, I'm like, trying to be, you know, discreet, I open the door, it just jingles. Daddy, is that your jumper? I'm like, yeah, it's a jumper, Evie, it's a jumper. So that's what I'm going to be wearing.
That's the worst thing, when relatives buy you something and when you see them over Christmas, you now have to wear the thing. My parents be like, your aunts and uncles are coming over, wear what they bought you, and it's like, it's swimming shorts.
They bought these for me in the 90s. The Hypebeast Womble told me yesterday his family have a Ken Bruce tray from the Radio 2 days that comes out every single year. So you've been sharing at 8, 12, 15. Lauren from Suffolk. Hi, team. My mother-in-law has a creepy clown head tree decoration that comes out every year. She's had it as a decoration since she was 5 years old. It came from a Christmas cracker. She hides it on the tree every year for us to find. It's always watching. Merry Christmas, everyone. Wow. Mags in Glasgow says, good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. We've had Tango Man. Then open brackets. Remember the orange man running about the street, slapping people in the face, saying, you've been Tango.
Yeah.
Close brackets. Yeah. We all remember that, of course. Also remember being told by the head teacher, don't do this to each other in the playground.
In the playground
was a big thing.
Stop tangoing.
Well, at the top of the Christmas tree, that's where the Tango Man lives every year. What? And has done for the last 30 years. They got him by sending off Tango ring pulls.
Oh, I don't remember this.
He's
I don't remember. How many ring pulls was it?
How many ring pulls did the Tango Man take, Mags? 8, 12, 15. It's a very good journalistic question from Andrea. He's a Christmas institution, apparently. So, Mags, we need to know the number of ring pulls. We need to know them now.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show. A breakfast show that's been with you guys for 8 years now. Ooh. And by my side, every morning there has been Matt Dyson. There was Emma Jones.
Yes.
There was Anna Geary. There is now Andrea Fox.
Yep, hello.
There has always been Glenn Moore.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Glenn.
Yeah.
You're leaving us, aren't you?
What?
This is how you tell me.
Glenn, you're done here.
That was the paper, that was the P45.
That was the P45. It was the Christmas cracker jokes you did. Gigs in blankets.
I've got to wrap this guy up.
All jokes aside, which is something you have done so brilliantly over the last 8 years here on The Breakfast Show, you are going to be calling it a day. Wednesday, which is Christmas Eve, is going to be your final show.
It is, yeah. It was a very, very difficult decision, and I've absolutely loved being part of the show. It's so fun.
Well, we love you, and I know that everyone listening loves you as well. In the new year, you are moving house with your wife and your two young children. Mm-hmm. Then you're going on another leg of your UK tour.
Yep.
Then Mock the Week is coming back.
It is.
And then you're taking your tour worldwide. You're going over to Australia, and you're going to be doing it there as well.
Going to Melbourne and Sydney for a month,
So squeezing in the old 4 a.m.s is going to be tricky.
Pretty good reason.
Yes. We understand. That's fine. Pretty good reason.
Sense, I felt guilty. Because I was like, I don't really see Katie and I don't really see Elliot and the 5-month-old, I don't even know his name. By leaving the show, it means I still won't get to see them, but I can focus on the podcast as well.
Well, the thing is, Glenn, you know, thinking about this and, you know, how much time we've spent together, you know, when we met and started working together, it was at another place, actually.
It was
many years ago. And then we started working together on this breakfast show and it's just been such a joy. But in that time, you know, we've both got married, we've both started families, we've both moved houses, we've all done a lot of stuff together. So it really has been like quite a journey. But I can tell you this right now, honestly, not only if you've seen Glenn do his stand-up, you've seen Glenn on TV, you know what a funny guy he is, and he's actually written some stuff for me to perform in the past as well when I've been hosting kind of events. So you're really good at that. But the thing you need to know is Glenn's such a funny guy that we never rehearse anything, there's never any scripts here. It's one of the big things for me on this show is that nobody knows what we're going to say. So when we hand in the cool badges or we talk about our weirdness or we talk about any topic from our actual lives, it is all completely off the cuff. Nobody knows where we're we're going with it. And bear that in mind, like next time you enjoy the podcast or you listen back on Rayo, how quick-witted Glenn Moore is, how quickly you get to those lines you don't even know are coming. This isn't like a TV thing. This isn't Mock the Week. This isn't 8 out of 10 Cats where you kind of get an idea of what's happening and you can get in the writing room. This is every morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
It's so reliable and consistent.
So consistently
as well,
funny
it?
And sharp,
so
and that's
I can't
why
do
you're going to be.
Thank you.
But honestly, man, I just, as the host of this show, I just appreciate that kind of energy, that commitment, and that fleet of mind that you have so early in the morning. And that's why I'm going to really miss you, because you bring something to the show that only you can.
I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Of course, you've also got involved in lots of the features that we do here over the years, which is why next we're going to relive one of my favourite ever moments from you, Glenn, which is you saying, "Is it weird that?"
Okay.
It's from earlier in the year. What I'm going to say is, if you missed it, involves false teeth. So I just kind of like laid it all bare there, and I'm not afraid to do that. I let it all hang out when it comes to my love and admiration for Glenn Moore. I then played a song. First thing Matt said when Glenn left the studio, said, "We can bring back Beat the Intro now he's leaving."
Some of us have got a chance now.
Yeah.
That's great.
My favourite family-ruining Christmas game I can play later on this week.
Unbelievable. So we promised you some of our favourite bits of Glenn Moore, including this from back in the summer. Have a little listen.
And I'm so apologetic to anyone who's eating. It's the same that happened at the weekend. I was in Kilkenny over the weekend for a comedy festival there, and I'd never been before. I was having a wonderful time. And then on the Saturday night, I thought, I'll go to a restaurant. And I went to an Indian restaurant, and it looked amazing. And I was sat down, and I was like the only person in the restaurant, and I'm absolutely fine with that.
Yeah.
And the waiter like went to bring my food over, and he literally had like the naan in hand, boona in the other, was going to put it down. He went, "I'm so sorry." He was like, "Do you mind checking around your table, or do you mind if I check around your table for just a napkin with something in it?" And I was like, what could this possibly be?
Oh.
And I went, "I'm happy to look for it. What is it?" And he went, "I'm sorry, a lady's rung up. She was here earlier. She's left her false teeth behind."
No way!
I swear to God.
At a comedy festival, someone's false teeth are coming in a restaurant. I didn't want to slip on a banana skin.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Good morning. Welcome along to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show, where I'm joined by two very special guests, the first of whom has won a Battle of the Bands competition. He created Lava Chicken in Minecraft, and he kicked Will Ferrell's dog off a bridge. The second is a Ghostbuster, an Avenger, and 60% of the time, it works every time. Yes, it's Paul Rudd and Jack Black, everyone! Yeah. Yes, gentlemen! Great to see you guys. I got to ask about the combo. So you're wearing kind of matching boiler suits with name badges. It's given a nod to kind of 1950s gas station Americana, or is it like, what is it?
It's nothing.
Okay.
It was literally like, how about this? All right.
Well, it looks good.
We've come to fix your cinemas.
That's exactly, that's what we did decide. Oh, we've got them on, and now we need to fix some cinemas.
You look great, gentlemen.
We're going to work.
You're together for Anaconda.
We can take out the rubbish, as you say, also when we leave.
Yeah, you can take out the trash.
The trash.
Okay. You look great. And you're here for Anaconda, out in cinemas on the 26th of December. I absolutely loved it.
Thank you.
It's hilarious.
Thank you.
It focuses on two childhood friends whose lives haven't quite worked out the way they wanted. No one wants to live a B-plus life. Jack, your character is kind of passionate about writing and directing movies, and Paul, your character is an actor who wants to be more than just Doctor Number 3. And so you hatch a plan. Tell everybody in this movie what you two decide to go and do to change your miserable lives.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's actually four childhood friends. Right. We are the four Musketeers. Don't forget Steve Zahn, who's amazing in the movie.
Incredibly funny.
And Tandaway Newton, who's a joy to work with and is fantastic in the movie. And the four of us, we shared a love of cinema when we were in high school. And then we all fell in love with this movie, this B-movie called Anaconda. And you have to say it that way. And my character, as you said, is a struggling filmmaker, but really he's sort of fallen on his plan B, which is to make wedding videos, which is, if you know, is the dreaded plan B. It's the fallback. And it's a life he's settled for. Yeah. And somewhere deep inside, he knows he was meant for better things. And that's what Paul comes in and kind of like convinces him, come on, get out of this. You're more than this, man.
That's right. Because I see, this is the thing. The four of us, we grew up making movies. This is, we live in Buffalo, New York, the furthest away from Hollywood that you could possibly be. And because all of us are living an unfulfilled life, we decide, as you said, Jack, to remake our favorite movie from the 90s, Anaconda.
And you come up with a scheme that we're going to go to the jungle. We're going to go to the Amazon rainforest in deep, dark Brazilian forest area.
Well said.
I'm the best at saying things. And then we're going to go remake Anaconda, but little do we know we're going to actually get into a very, very dangerous adventure with a real-life anaconda, and thus begins the adventure.
Not so much a remake, a reimagining.
That's right.
Yeah. Of the 1997.
That's a concise
Jennifer
way of
Lopez.
Putting it that Thank we just you. Did bobbled.
No. It's good. And Ice Cube was in this film as well. You know, it's a cult classic. Now, I've seen the movie and I absolutely loved it. I don't want to plot spoil all of our lovely listeners here. So I've just got a couple of kind of cryptic bits that really stood out for me. They are the pee-pee chair and squirrel in the mouth. Well
yes.
done.
Yes. Yeah. Well done. These are price of admission moments, I like to call them. And when you read the script, you go, oh boy, that's a big one. Because there's danger and comedy all wrapped into one. And so a lot of people, if you've seen the trailer, you know at some point I'm going to be running down through the jungle with a boar strapped to my back and I'm covered in goo and there's a giant killer anaconda slithering up just about to attack. And the question is, how did they get into this situation? Which to me is even funnier than the actual running of the boar scene. It's how it all led up to it. But I don't want to tell you how we end up in this absurd situation, because that to me is the funniest part.
So gentlemen, as promised, it is time now for your showbiz scenarios.
Okay.
Previous victims of this on My Breakfast Show include Tom Holland, Jake Gyllenhaal, Jodie Comer, Denzel Washington, Kate Hudson, Liam and Noel Gallagher, Ricky Gervais and Daniel Craig, to name but a few.
Damn.
Wow.
So that's a murderer's row.
It's great having
talent.
You play your showbiz scenarios. I'm going to give you three hypothetical situations and three names from your world. You just need to tell me who is best suited to help you in each scenario and why. And we begin with scenario one. There's a body in the boot/trunk of the car. Who do you call for help and why? And your options are Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Robert Downey Jr., Will Ferrell.
Who's going first, Jack? What do you think?
I'm going to go Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay.
Because first of all, he's strong enough to pick up the body and do away with it.
Yeah.
And second of all, because I'm about to do Jumanji 3 with him and I want to stay on his good side. If you're watching, I pick you, Dwayne The Rock.
Agreement, Paul?
Also, my answer, because I don't know him, never met him, but I would like to be on his good side too, because if there's any way I can get into Jumanji 4, I figure that I've got one in to my right, and then maybe Dwayne can pull some strings.
Dude, it's not too late to get in Jumanji 3. We're still shooting.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking.
Dwayne,
if you're listening, I pick you to help get rid of a body in the boot of my car.
That's how you get into the movie.
I love him watching this on YouTube going, you know what, I'm going to put you guys in Jumanji 3. Yeah, you deserve it now.
But, you know, if you count the original Jumanji with Robin Williams, it's Jumanji 4.
Huh?
And if you count another sequel to Jumanji called Zathura, it's actually we're on Jumanji 5.
Okay.
There's so many possible Jumanjis.
Okay. But Dwayne Rock Johnson's helping you with the body in the boot of the car. Now we have scenario number two.
Yeah.
You're on trial in Thailand and you're desperate to get home.
Again?
You're desperate to get home to your families for the holidays. Who of the following do you choose as your defense lawyer and why? Harrison Ford, Kevin Hart, Steve Carell.
I'm picking Carell.
Yeah.
He can do anything. I think Kevin is a fast talker, but I kind of feel like they wouldn't I don't feel like they would listen to him as much.
Steve Carell is so brilliant, but my favorite role of his is Anchorman, where he is the dumbest creature on the planet.
Well, he always breaks your defense
lawyer.
He
always
scares me that maybe
upward,
that's the real Steve Carell, is he's so good at that.
Yeah.
Maybe he is dumb as a mud fence. That's why I'm going Harrison Ford, baby.
Oh, okay.
Cool as a cucumber. He is just going to defend his client quietly with integrity. May the best lawyer win.
He might not show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the jury would be such a fan of his. They'd be like, Indiana Jones.
That is true.
Innocent.
It is.
Let Jack off the charges. All charges.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that is. That is.
There's a balance here for picking Harrison Ford, but I think in the main, he's a good choice. Scenario three. For a charity gala evening, you have agreed to perform the 2014 Nicki Minaj classic Anaconda on stage in order to raise money. But which of the following people are you choosing to be the Ginger Rogers to your Fred Astaire? Cameron Diaz, Seth Rogen, or Tom Cruise?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I just think Cameron Diaz, she looks the most like Ginger Rogers. The way you framed that question. And also, she was great in the movie The Holiday. I don't know who else was in it, but man, was she great. And the rest of the cast was stellar. I'm going Cameron Diaz.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll go Seth Rogen.
Okay.
Just because I've always wanted to meet him.
Okay, lovely. Talking of The Holiday, Jack, it's been like 20 years next year since it's released, and it's still it's just everybody's favorite Christmas movie. What do you feel about the legacy of that Christmas movie?
I just feel bad that Cate Blanchett was stuck with me because she came off of Titanic with Leonardo DiCaprio. What a steep fall that is to end up with me in The Holiday. But I had the time of my life.
You just called her Blanchett.
Yeah. Is it Winslet?
I
did it again! Can we delete that part?
Yeah, it's all gone.
Am Jack, I turning red?
No, it's good. So, Kate
Winslet.
Why would you delete it? It's the best part of the show.
What do you mean again? Have you been doing this for like the last 20 years?
Dude, I keep on messing. I love both of those Kates.
Yeah, they're both great Kates.
I have great a Kates. Horrible brain. I can never remember it, and I always put my foot in my mouth.
But what a lovely position to be in life when you get your Blanchetts and your Winslets mixed up. You know you've done something right in life if that's an actual thing for you, Jack, right?
Next question.
Gentlemen, we're going to leave it there. I absolutely adored Anaconda. It is out in cinemas this Friday. That's the 26th. That's Boxing Day. Thank you very much.
Is there any way that maybe I can just say Winslet? You take my soundbite and you lay it into Jack's answer?
Yeah. Okay, go for it. And coming to Paul Rudd in 3, 2, 1.
Winslet.
Gentlemen,
so much
you.
For The Holiday too.
Now you've got to put all your eggs into Jumanji 5.
Can I be in that one too?
I don't care if she calls me Jack Whitehall or whoever the other famous Jack is. She can call me whatever she wants.
5 words, 5 grand.
Absolute Radio.
And playing this morning, we have Lorraine. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Welcome to the show. Lorraine joins the breakfast show in the mornings via Absolute 80s, has scored 4 out of 5, would most like to get Matt Dyson on the random player generator. So, Lorraine, let's give it a spin, see who you're playing alongside on your Thursday morning.
5 words, 5 grand. Player generator.
Matt Dyson.
Andrea Fox.
Claire. Who played yesterday?
Free choice.
Dyson. Matt.
Okay. Thanks, Lorraine. I'm glad someone's listening to me. Congratulations.
Glenn.
It's Glenn Moore, and you've been promoted to role of co-host, Lorraine. So well done.
Good luck, Lorraine.
Good time to leave the studio. Peter, grab him. Whisk him out of here. Get him gone. Get out of here, you two lovebirds. Okay, Lorraine, as you're fully aware, I'm about to give you 5 words and you need to say the first word that pops into your brain. I'll then give Glenn Moore the same 5 words, and if you say the same thing as one another, you have won £5,000, my friend. So without further ado, let's play 5 words, 5 grand. And we begin with the word give. G-I-V-E, give.
Take.
Yeah, that's nice, nice. There we go. Stocking.
Filler.
Very good.
Empty.
Full.
Sofa.
bed.
Price. P-R-I-C-E. Price.
Tag.
Oh, Lorraine.
I think the money's going to go.
I think today's the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
So it'd be a good present.
Wow. Oh, that'd be nice, Lorraine. Happy birthday.
It would be, yeah.
I would have matched all five with that.
I would have matched all five with that.
Yeah. Certain,
Andrea,
that
all five with that.
I don't want to get too carried away, but that was amazing.
So it means only Glenmore can mess it up, which is almost like his catchphrase, isn't it? Only Glenmore can mess it up for you now, Lorraine. And he's in play next. That's exactly where you are.
$5,000 Absolute Radio.
So many messages are coming into us here in the studio, including my phone, where my little sister and my niece Penny have matched five words this morning with Lorraine.
Pressure's on.
Okay. Big talk.
No. $5,000 Absolute Radio.
Lorraine, you there?
Yep, I am.
May I call you Loz?
Laz, actually, because I'm LA.
Okay. Well,
you can call me Loz.
Yeah. Okay. Laz and Loz are about to play for £5,000 on five words, $5,000. Honestly, good luck to you both.
Thank you.
It's been a long time coming. The first word this morning is give.
Take.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
No messing.
Stocking.
Filler.
Correct.
Yes.
Empty.
Full.
Correct.
We're racing through.
I don't like this.
He's slotting them home with ease.
Okay. Three down, two to go. Okay. I locked in Laz's answer, Loz. It's time for you.
Yeah.
It's confusing, man.
My bodyguard, Paz.
I'll be Doz. Sofa.
Cushion.
Oh!
No!
No!
Mastered up and walked away.
I'm standing in the corner.
He's gone!
It's like the end of a Blair Witch Project.
Oh, no.
No, Matt's literally facing the wall, sofa, bed.
Oh, Laz.
Loz, Laz, Doz has never been so disappointed in
sofa bed.
Sofa bed, yeah, yeah, sofa bed. Yeah. Oh,
what
man.
Have you got for price? I'm living in temporary accommodation as well. It was so like it's in my wheelhouse.
What have you got for price?
Price tag.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
I
felt so certain it was going to go.
So was I.
I'm so sorry.
I even turned all the studio lights on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do, Glenn? I'm going to plunge us into darkness next to you. There we go. Let's turn all these lights off now. Let's sit here in the dark. Lorraine, try and have a happy birthday at the weekend.
I will.
Try and have a great Christmas. And it's been lovely having you on the show. We will speak to you again real soon. So we have a 4 out of 5 on five words, $5,000. We're not quite there yet.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
I thought we should use this talky bit at 17 minutes past 8 to take a little listen back to some of Glenn's best bits. Now, instead of doing a montage like we did for Emma, what I've got here are 15 individual clips.
Oh, yes.
Moments you've said certain things over the last 8 years we've spent together in the same studio. It has been a pleasure putting this together.
It's out of context, isn't it?
Of this is so wildly out of context. I have even listened back to I've no idea why you said most of these things.
I can think of one Premier League footballer who
I think that's the last one. That's by far the best.
I've said to Matt, I'm saving your favourite Glenn moment for last.
So
you have that to come.
Okay.
But right now, let's go through them, shall we? This is the first one.
Would you like a wet ghost on your bum?
Would you like a wet ghost on your bum? There you go. Is that out of context enough for you on Christmas Eve?
Shower-cuns. Well, shower-cuns. I remember this vividly.
Shiny happy people! Yeah, little shiny happy people there.
The intro has to
possibly.
Been.
Oh yeah, it has to be.
No.
Maybe Alan Bennett. I was thinking, there was a fit period where we did a lot of Alan Bennett on the show, and maybe that was it. I don't know.
That was realising we were going to play the 1 out of 5 on 5 words, $5,000 song.
Right. Was it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Oh.
It's my impression of the streets.
Yeah, this is my skin impression. Excellent.
This one is.
I'm in Jamie Lee Curtis's body.
Yeah.
I meant what I said.
Freaky Friday, right?
Yeah.
No, please. okay, now this the next five here, they're all impressions. They're all impressions for us to enjoy. Let's start with this.
My name is Glenn and I'm here to say.
The irony.
My name is Glenn and I'm here to say.
Well, until 10 a.m. you are, yeah. We've got this one.
Hello.
Now, do you know what that is?
Is that the Art Attack head?
Oh, wow.
It is the Art Attack head. Here yes. It is again.
Hello.
I can do beat the intro on TV characters yeah. from the 90s.
Okay, good luck with this one.
The name's Tumble. Mr. Tumble.
That was brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good.
Hi there.
Yes.
And it was huge in Ayanapa.
Was that Alan Bennett?
I have no idea.
That was Bennett.
And it was huge in Ayanapa.
We've got Eurovision as well.
Hello, London. I hope you're all doing very kindly today.
There are five more to go. Here we go.
Oh, they're going to abandon the Scientology building.
What is going on there?
Oh, one more time.
Are they going to abandon the Scientology?
It's been challenging working with Glenn over the last 8 years, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm sure you can hear
this
now.
All this was meant to be in the sport. All of this was meant to be in the sports book.
Benedict!
Oh, what?
Benedict!
Daddy! Daddy, Daddy.
Is that just that 80s punk rock singer sort of, yeah?
Yeah,
it's got to be, yeah.
I'm being a silly Billy. I'm being a silly Billy.
And we've been building to this.
Yeah.
Here it is. The one and only, the legendary piece of audio.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbeck!
Now, what was the context in this again?
Glenn is a talking chicken, wasn't
it? Yeah, I was annoyed that talking pets never say, like, actual names of celebrities. Yeah. So they never give ones that are actually a challenge.
And of all the celebrities you could have chosen, you chose...
Jimmy Floyd!
Yes.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
It's just been an amazing year. We have got up to so much. And whether you join us just by listening into the show or you have been part of it on air, we are really, truly grateful. Of course, for many of us over the next week, Absolute Radio is going to provide the soundtrack to some of the best moments of the year when you get together with your friends and family. And it's not lost on me what a great honour and privilege that is. And that applies not just to me, but to everybody who works here at Absolute Radio. We're also fully aware that for many of you, possibly it's not as easy to get in touch with family or friends, and we also need to be there for those of you as well who are feeling that way. There's a whole pile of information on our website. You know, we are very passionate about talking about mental health, understanding it's okay not to be okay. So please reach out to someone if you feel that they could benefit from having a conversation. If you feel there's somebody in your life, maybe that's a friend, a family member, a work colleague who's struggling, then make sure you drop them a text, reach out, check in with them. So, as I just said, it's been an incredible year here on the show, Matt Dyson.
It
has been that way for so many years now. And it's always down to just how sharing, caring, open, brilliant, and downright hilarious you out there are. So what I'd like to do right now is play you the best of you, because your screensaver on your phone is a photo of her. In fact, it's a photo of her on your wedding day. What has your wife got as her screensaver on her phone?
It's a squirrel.
Oh, great delivery.
You said that you twigged something fairly on about the quizmaster of your local pub quiz back in the 90s. What was that, Anne?
Yeah, so we worked out fairly early on that he got most of his questions from Woman's Own magazine. We worked it out. So every Tuesday, I used to memorise anything that I thought would be useful for the quiz. But we used to win every week.
I bet you did, Anne!
We used to throw the odd question just so it doesn't look too obvious.
Oh, same. Okay. Tell everybody what you did last Halloween.
Wrapped up Brussels sprouts in Ferrero Rocher wrappers.
You spent time individually wrapping the sprouts in Ferrero Rocher paper?
Yeah.
That is calculated.
You know, I hadn't thought about the coldness of the crime. But so you flattened them out on the kitchen side, boiled up the Brussels sprouts, and then individually wrapped them.
Yeah, some of them was raw as well. It's easier to trap them when they're raw.
Oh,
I couldn't get it out, and the more I tried to get it out, the more bent my foot went. Oh. And then they tried to pull the bin off my foot, and it wasn't
you had to
off.
Call for help. You had to call colleagues for help 2 weeks into a job.
My boss had to come round. He came round to try and remove the bin. He went, "Oh, it's all right. We'll cut your laces off. We'll cut your laces off." And I'm thinking, you won't, mate, because there's a snaffle on that.
How much cost?
Tell us what's winding you up about Daniel Allison. Go ahead.
So he makes alpha bites for the kids' dinner, Josh and Ben. He does not even attempt to spell their names with the alpha bites.
Oh my gosh, see what I mean?
It makes me so mad.
Allison,
And when I get something out to the next week or later on that week, I will take it off and I will physically lick the block of food. So it could be bolognese, sausage casserole, chicken curry, whatever it is. And I don't know, and it's such a surprise, and that's how I have it's like frozen food roulette.
Yeah, it is.
So there we go. We couldn't make the show without you. Thank you ever so much to each and every one of you who took the time to take our call, to answer my silly questions, and to genuinely just have a whole pile of fun with us. We really are grateful. Of course, all of that is going to continue when we return on the 5th of January, 2026. And that is it. It is time to bid you farewell, not only from Wednesday morning's edition of The Breakfast Show, but also the final edition of The Breakfast Show of 2025. As you know, I've already given you my biggest thanks for not only joining us on the show, but also being part of it. We literally could not be making it without you. So thank you to every single one of you out there. And of course, my final thanks goes to someone who has been by my side for the last 8 years since we started this breakfast show. It is time to say farewell to the living legend and wish him all the best for Christmas and the new year and the future. And to remind you, Glenn, you are always welcome on this breakfast show.
Thank you.
So please come back soon.
Please. I've got January 5th booked in. So great.
Thank you. Glenn, we love you. We really do. And thank you for so many amazing moments here on The Breakfast Show. So as for myself, Matt and Andrea, we'll be back with you on Monday, the 5th of January, 2026. Until then, have fabulous Christmases. Spend some quality time with your family if you can. Check in on those friends of yours. Stay safe. Stay festive. Arrivederci. Bye.